Hey, podcast listeners. If you enjoy learning about important issues affecting your world, then be sure to join us this month on WSJ.com as we explore the people and programs helping to solve America's hunger issues. This July, we're partnering with MiniUSA to defy hunger on the Mini Takes the States rally. Check out the program on WSJ.com and donate to the cause at defyhungertogether.com.
Welcome. This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Trump made his big speech at the RNC, but will Wall Street buy what he is selling? The MoneyBeat crew hashes it all out on this financial food fight. Coming up.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, everybody out there in podcast land. Welcome to the Friday Food Fight. Paul Vigna here in the studio. Stephen Grosser is not in today. He's in the office, but he had some big epic meeting, so he couldn't do it. I hear rumors that he might try to crash the podcast. We'll see if that actually happens or not. Who we do have is some of our usuals, Jack Otter, Jack from Barron's. How are you, Jack?
I'm pretty good, thanks.
Good. And Chuck Jaffe from MarketWatch calling in from Boston, as always.
Thanks for having me back.
And Dana Simaluka, one of our editors on the Money and Investing team, one of our aces in the world of M&A. Dana, how are you?
I'm doing well, Paul. Thank you.
And I just saw Grosser sneak into the control room. We're going to try to keep him. We're
going to
keep him off the air, though. We're not going to let him on. Grosser, no, no. Those who are late do not get fruit cup. I turned his mic off.
Keep it off.
Keep it off. Keeping that mic off.
Then we never have Dana on.
Here we go.
How did you get in here? Who let you in?
They like me in the control booth. Only people.
Wow. Well, this podcast just went off the rails. All right. Let's talk about a subject that is, interestingly enough, I don't think it's having a huge effect on the market, but let's hash this out a little bit. Donald Trump gave his acceptance speech last night. And I think what's interesting in terms of how we want to approach it is you can look at this in ways of there were probably three big, broadly speaking, probably three constituencies Donald Trump had to reach last night. Whether or not he cared about reaching them is another thing. But there's Republican voters, there's Democratic voters, and there's the market. So let's talk about that third group. Do we think that Donald Trump last night reached the market? And what do we think the market made of that speech?
I guess I'd have to say that the market didn't see anything changing in terms of its prediction because the market was pretty blasé,
right,
on the open.
Yeah,
the market was waiting for him to go off script. The market, I think, you know, the way so many things happen on the market, it's sort of like in the old days of looking to see, you know, how fat is Greenspan's briefcase.
Right.
I think the market was waiting to see him say something when they felt he wasn't reading from the teleprompter. And he actually did a good job staying on script last night. So the result of that is that the market didn't have the things that it might have been looking to react to.
That's interesting. That's an interesting take on it. You know, what I wonder about is, look, you look at some of the more notable lights in the market punditry world, right? I mean, I'm thinking especially the Economist has written a lot of things about Donald Trump. They're not fans. Our own editorial page is very ambivalent about him. I think the market looks at him as this is a guy who certainly wants to knock over the apple cart.
That's for sure. And the market tends not to like the apple cart
exactly.
knocked over.
Right.
And again, this is people think that's a political statement. It's not. The
no,
market
it's not
does
at
not
all.
Like uncertainty, period. The market likes the devil it knows. And so my superficial reaction is to think that the market still sees Hillary Clinton as having a larger chance of gaining the presidency, although I'm not sure I buy that. To me, it's an extraordinarily hard race to handicap for so many reasons, including one of my favorites is that I think there are Donald Trump fans, supporters, voters out there who don't admit it in polls. I think there are still people who just aren't ready to say that.
Yeah. And there are people who will, and I saw Dennis Gartman does a daily newsletter, and I get that one, and he mentioned offhandedly, you know, he said he'll be voting for Donald Trump just because he won't vote for Hillary Clinton. So there are people out there that are going to vote for Donald Trump, whether or not they like him, just because they don't like Hillary Clinton.
The other thing is polling data has not been very successful lately.
That's true, too.
Brexit, you know, if you needed proof of that, I think there's a poll, YouGov, I think it was, a poll that came out maybe an hour before we started getting the initial results in that had, you know, staying in the EU well ahead. And that was obviously not the case.
And the market moved on that.
Yeah.
People started buying because they thought, oh, UK is not going to vote to leave.
You saw the pound strengthen, strengthen, and then all of a sudden the first results came in and the pound went the opposite way.
And that's an excellent analogy because, again, people thought that people didn't want to admit they were voting for Brexit.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but it's also not to be argumentative, but...
Hey, this is the food fight, Dana.
You
can be a little argumentative.
It's possible there's not a read across between the Brexit vote and U.S. political votes. I mean, my understanding is there are question marks around, you know, how good the polling data was in the U.K., and it's conceivable that it's more sophisticated and well-developed over here.
Well, no, I mean, one of the, yeah, I mean, I think there is probably an argument for that because Nate Silver, you know, he was sort of taken for task for getting the last parliamentary election in the UK very wrong. So, like, you know, and that's sort of where the meme kind of grew up, that polling data is getting worse and worse. So there might be some truth to what Dana's saying.
And it's possible that the Brexit vote will hurt Donald Trump. Because there may be some people who see that when the dog catches the car, it doesn't actually work out that well.
Yeah, there's no question that could happen. But the, you know, but bringing it back to the market.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting question. So if you had to throw it out there for our audience right now, and you had to pick a stock that you thought would be particularly suited for a Donald Trump presidency, and we can throw away the names that might come up because you are trying to be tongue-in-cheek, you're trying to make a statement. So we're going to throw out, you know, you can't pick Smith & Wesson.
Or the Israeli fence builder, or, you know, the builds wall.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Cemex.
But the question would then be, like, would you pick, I don't know, Merck, because, you know, Hillary had made her statements about pharma or something along those lines, or would you pick some little company that does, is a private prison company, right? They're in the incarceration business or, you know, for-profit prison operator. Who would you pick if, you know, to be yourself? Would it be a coal company, right?
Well, one of the
things that he said, although he didn't really talk about it much last night, but one of the few things he said throughout has been, hey, I want to resuscitate the coal industry. So would you, you know, bet with big energy or bet against them?
All right, let's wrap. Let's end it there. I want to thank you, gentlemen, for coming in. I want to thank you all for listening. I want everyone to have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you beginning next week.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.